This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hello, Dick Enberg here, and I'm mighty excited to announce the start of my new show, Sound of Success, right here on Podcast One. For 60 years, I've rubbed shoulders with sports greatness, from athletes in the world of football, baseball, college and professional basketball, golf, tennis, the Olympics, and so much more. Join me as I explore in-depth stories from the greatest figures in the world of sport, and I'll share a few of my own. Download new episodes of Sound of Success every Thursday on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, and PodcastOne.com. Oh my!
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, it's Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshawe, and right across from me is Motorator Matt DeAndrea.
Hello.
He's pulling his clothes off. What's going on, dude? So, hey.
My belly's hanging out.
Aaron is not here. He forgot we do a podcast on Fridays, and he went to Cabo for his dad's 70th birthday.
Slumming it in Cabo.
I mean, come on. I got to give him that because last Friday I had to call in because I was away for my mom's birthday.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. Parents.
But we got you to call in.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a good show. We had fun with Tyson. He's a good dude.
Yeah, Tyson's always fun, and he's a car guy and an actor. And, you know, we're hoping that he'll become like this A-list superstar, and we can say, hey, yeah, we know Tyson. He'll go, who are you guys?
Yeah.
What? I don't remember you.
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. So, hey, so there's so much going on, man. I mean, the world's melting down, you know. Trump's taking away insurance. He's going after Iran. He's going after Rocket Man and all this stuff. But we're talking about cars. And so we can kind of forget about all that crap for a while. Talk a little bit about cars. And in the car world, there's a hell of a lot going on. Because
we can't forget about all that crap because we were talking a minute ago off the air about, you know, we got Barrett Jackson Las Vegas coming up. It's an auction they've obviously been planning for a long time.
I was leading up to
a bunch of cars, but it's at Mandalay Bay.
I know.
And you know,
so there's that dark cloud from the Vegas shootings,
yeah.
Which I don't want to be a bummer or anything, but unfortunately, a very good friend of mine was killed there. And it's it kind of brought it home and made it suck all that much more because I didn't find it out until a few days later when I'm just scanning through and all of a sudden I see his photo and I'm like, what the fuck, man? You know?
Yeah.
And he had taken his four daughters to the concert and he never made it home. I mean, and it, not only that, one of the daughters' husbands was also shot and killed.
Wow.
So it really just sucked. And, you know, when you put it in that perspective, you kind of say, holy crap, man. I mean, that was real. And and now Barrett Jackson, less than a month later or just a month later?
Yeah.
They're going in with the car auction. And there's still, I mean, didn't you say you knew some people that went over to Mandalay Bay just last week or something?
Yeah. A friend just went out there and I think went by it or stayed near it or something like that. It was, I don't know, she was filming something locally, mm-hmm. and it was kind of a ghost town and had a weird feeling about it. And I haven't talked to him, but I'm pretty sure our friend Andy Bell.
Yeah.
Andy Bell owns a production company. He's a stunt guy. He did Nitro Circus and some Jackass movies and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, we met him down at Long Beach Toyota Grand Prix.
Supercar
you know,
drags.
And, yeah, and you know, Adam Carolla raced with him 1 year or 2 years in the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race. And I think he was in the hotel, like, next door, and he was in his room high up, and he can see the guy shooting into
the
audience.
Oh, he was actually there during
it.
Yeah,
oh, watching. He heard it and saw it.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And, he posted something online, like, I think it's personal, like Facebook stuff. And he's like, I can't believe what's going on. There's something going on outside, like, in real time.
Yeah.
He's like, this is nuts. Yeah. So it was pretty crazy, but... You know, and by the way, and just to put a little cap onto this, is they did the autopsy on the guy, and there was no, like, cancer, tumor, or anything, because they were saying, like, maybe there's something wrong with his head, and blah, blah, blah.
A defective brain, for sure, okay.
And so. But there was no, like, physical evidence of that yet, and Las Vegas PD is like, we're still going to find out why he was doing this, but anyway, a massive tragedy, and it's terrible that you lost friends there, and everybody that lost friends there, and what it's doing to the country, and what it's doing to Vegas. But we've got to move on, and like we said, there's still events going on there. And by the way,
SEMA coming up. I mean.
Yeah, SEMA's coming up, and I mean, I'm not staying there, but somebody is.
but I mean, as you said, we got Bear Jackson coming up. We've got to kind of, we want to entertain people. We want to keep them, you know, it is real. It is what happened. But, the world moves on. I mean, the world does. Unfortunately, that is what happens. If it did affect any of our listeners, and as close as it came to me, we feel really bad about it, and we honestly do, but the world does move on. You know,
there was this story about the former military guy, young guy that was there, and the shooting was happening. It was a lot. It was chaos, and he kind of looked over and saw sort of like a parking lot or field or something, some area with a bunch of trucks,
mm-hmm.
and he went over and he jacked.
He stole
one of the trucks, and he was bringing people back and forth to the hospital, like 30, 40 people at a time in the back of the pickup truck.
Well, you can't get 30 or 40 people at a time in the back of that truck.
In the bed of the truck. People were jumping in there, and he went, made a trip, and came back. I don't know how many trips he did. And then at some point, the owner of the truck tweeted out, he's like, you did a great job, because the keys were in the truck. And the keys
were in it.
Yeah, that's I don't know why or how, or maybe it was like temporary or somebody, but it was just lucky. He just went over in the first truck he checked, the door was open and the keys were in it. And then the owner tweeted out, he's like, no problem, you did what you had to do, it's all good, but can I have my keys back? And the guy's like, sure, I've got them, no problem, I'll send them to you. So that worked out. And then it wasn't Ford, but it was a Ford dealer, I believe. They reached out and they said they couldn't find the guy, and then they just tweeted out to his name or to his mm-hmm. Twitter account. They're like, you're a hero. Thank you for doing that, and we hear you need a truck. and they're like, call us. We'll give you a truck.
Yeah, they gave him a brand-new Ford F-150.
Yeah.
It was a Ford dealer in Chandler, Arizona.
Yeah.
And, they said they wanted to do something.
Good.
That's cool.
If I could step up, do something,
It's like you got to kind of...
Personally, I probably would have said, give me the money and I'll let me donate it. But but maybe he really needs a truck. Obviously,
maybe,
he does.
Yeah, maybe he really does.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You would take a new truck. Don't give me that. You'd be like, yeah, okay.
I would.
But a new truck
wouldn't be bad.
But it goes back. You'd have to be a hero first.
That's right. You have to be a hero first. But, I mean, good for that guy. Good for that dealer.
There were a lot of heroes.
You read it and it puts a little smile on your face after something so shitty happening. You're like, I like that.
Well, there was some other stuff online, you know, on social media about some guy was bagging on people for, you know, man, you didn't help any of those people. And you just ran past them. You were filming on your phone. And you know what? Nobody knows what they're going to do in that situation.
Nobody knows what they're
going
to
do. When there's, you know, rapid fire and you see people falling, the first thing is you'll run, you know, because if you fall, you're not going to help anybody, you know? So now there were people that just kept running and running. I mean,
I'd still be running.
You know, yeah, man, I'd still be running. I'm running home,
yeah,
man. You know,
I would have Forrest Gump my way across the country. I'd be in Florida by now.
My wife asked me, she goes, well, what would he do in that situation? I said, I don't know about you. I'd run. Well, I don't know. You know, no.
Yeah.
No, I said, probably try and find some cover, you know, that, you know, because you didn't. Apparently, you didn't know where it was coming from.
That's the thing. It's like you see it, and people are getting hurt, and you're like, left, right, up, down? Like, what do I do? Where do I go?
And the conspiracy theorists, you know, they say that the security guards were in on it, and they were shooting people, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like,
it's a crazy thing. And so what do you do? Like, everybody's heading out to SEMA. People are a little – they have concerns. They have security concerns and safety concerns, and understandably so. You know, so what do you do? Like, casinos, they
well,
can't.
Well, we're having bulletproof vests printed up with shift and steer on them. So.
Right. Yeah, whatever you can do to promote. But, you know, like, casinos, they can't, like, have giant metal detectors and check everybody that comes in. And
well, let me tell you something. The Wynn has already instituted, I read it, that they are instituting everybody coming in and out goes to metal detectors. I don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah, okay, but I got to tell you, like, something like the Wynn and its clientele can pull that off, right? Like, the
but
Wynn
still,
is expensive.
Think
and it's
of
higher
the,
end and
the atmosphere in Vegas. You kind of mill around. You go from place to place. People kind of walk in, walk out. There's going to be lines, man. It's
there's going
to
be,
like,
lines.
Yeah.
But also, that's not really going to change the issue because if, you know, and again, I'm not trying to scare anybody for anything, schools, concerts, you know, Vegas. But as soon as they put metal detectors there, all it's doing is protecting the Wynn and their liability.
Mm-hmm.
Because now some guy's just not going to go up on into a hotel room. He's going to stand in the middle of the street.
Well, there's parking
because
garages,
now there's a line out in front of the Wynn.
Yeah, you know? There you go, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. So it's – and by the way, when you step back and – and, of course, the people that were hurt and emotionally damaged and all that. But now look at the financial blowback, you know. Like, I think MGM parent company owns Mandalay Bay and whatever. Like,
yeah,
they lost
they
billions in their stock prices.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, billions in their stock prices. And, I mean, you know, the revenue is going to get hurt. I mean, this is a big deal. And if you ever look up any of these casinos, you know, like they're public figures, you know, these casinos are so expensive to build that these companies, they're cash cows, but most of them just have tons of debt, you know, because you have to borrow. You'd be like,
right.
I need to borrow $14 billion to build something. And then over the course of 20 years,
it's what their return on investment is. Yeah.
It's just a crazy thing. So something that would hurt their stock price and their revenue so much is bad. It's like it's bad for thousands and thousands of employees potentially, you know.
Well, I'm thinking, I'll bet you today, right as of right now and probably for some time to come, the 32nd floor at that hotel will not be rented.
Well, yeah, what they're talking about is those rooms specifically.
But right now, because of the investigation,
yeah,
those rooms will never be rented, and I'll bet that whole floor is still quarantined off, so it's like...
Some people are saying you should just seal up the door, like remove the door and just put a wall there and just leave it and just never even go in it again. And I was like, I don't know. You could use it for storage, put toilet paper and stuff in there. Like, I don't know what you do. Like, but... You know, on the other hand, there's going to be some people that'll be like, yeah, I want to stay in that room. That'll be weird, but I want to stay in that room. But,
that's weird, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, what did they do with the daily Book Depository in Dallas where, you know, JFK was shot from. They made it into like a museum, you know?
Yeah.
It's like weird stuff,
yeah.
You know?
I don't need a tour of this room. Fuck that room. I don't need to do that.
But anyways, going back to the events that go there. Now, Barrett Jackson has to go in.
Yep.
So they've already announced that they're going to put a Shelby Mustang through, and all the proceeds will go to first responders. And that's really cool. But I bet it's going to have an impact, you know, because regardless, I mean, what are the odds that, okay, another event's going to, you know, be impacted? And also, Barrett Jackson is inside the Mandalay Bay. They're in the convention center.
Yeah.
So it's not an outdoor event or anything like that.
I wasn't planning on going. I got too much stuff going. But I'll tell you, just to support the event and support Vegas and support everything
else. You're
going to
go and spend a bunch of money?
I would think to go. I would, you know, if I had the time, I would go. I'd buy a ticket and I would go and just say, you know,
I don't think it should deter people because
you crazy guys and
it's kind of like a middle finger to all the wackadoos out there, you know.
Yeah,
it's like they always say with terrorism: you can't succumb to terrorism because then they've won. And the thing is that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm a firm believer in that. It doesn't matter if you're driving down the freeway. There have been crazies that shoot from a freeway overpass and shoot people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy's crazy. What are you going to do?
So let's talk about SEMA. Let's talk a little bit about SEMA. We got some things going on.
Not about security at SEMA?
Let's talk about fun stuff. SEMA.
Smoking rubber and revving motors.
We're going to be out there. We're going to see buddies of ours. And so I don't know what.
We're going to be doing a live podcast every single day of SEMA, 10 to 11, right, Matt?
Yes, we're going to be in the MagnaFlow booth in Central Hall. They're usually kind of like right in the middle.
Which they have a stage for us.
Yeah, so their booth this year is sort of cut into two pieces. And they have like their normal booth location where their VIPs are. And they host a lot of signing events and TV guys and friends of ours. Courtney Hansen's probably going to be there. And Rutledge Wood's going to be there. And Mario Andretti and maybe Kyle Petty or Richard Petty or something like that was going to be there. They'll have a whole thing going on. And then off to the side, they have another little booth that they kind of build out as a podcast studio. And this is kudos to them. Like, this is the first time something like that has been done, where they're dedicating a booth, turning it into a podcast stage, and they've got a whole bunch of podcasts. You know, friends of ours from other podcasts are going to be in and out there every day, and we're going to be there doing Shift and Steer Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 10 a.m., and on Wednesday, when you swing by and see the show at 10, you're also going to be there with your Man Seeks Adventure podcast. It'll be Dave Merrick and Heather Storm. And so that'll be right after us at 11.
Yeah, from 11 to 12.
Right. So you get a double dose of Fanshawe.
That's right. Come on by. It's a double, what they used to call a doubleheader in baseball or a double matinee in movies.
Yeah.
Double Fanshawe.
Double Fanshawe. For the price of one Fanshawe, you can get two. So I don't know if I'm allowed to say some of this stuff or not, but here's some of the things that I know. I know the Ring brothers are debuting a 56 Ford F-100 Coyote engine.
Yeah, that's already out there in the world.
That's going to be cool. They have another car, and I'm not remembering what it is, but...
Neither can I. We're great journalists, aren't we? I don't remember what it was.
If we had notes or something, that'd be better.
But then we'd, you know, need somebody to assist us. And
if you guys have been following Chip Foose at all on any of Foose's social media, he's been building this, going back to this hot rod style. Like, I know he's doing a Mustang.
Okay.
He's doing like a 70 Mustang. But he's doing like a five-window, you know, hot rod.
Five-window coupe?
Yeah. And I believe that car is going to debut in the MagnaFlow booth.
Okay.
So you can see that car there. I'm trying to think of what else could be out there. Have you heard of any other debuts out there?
Oh, there's a ton of them. I mean, you just keep going down the list.
Is there any that you're looking forward to?
You know what? I've been so busy that I haven't really been paying a whole lot of attention.
So you got nothing.
I got nothing for you, man. I got nothing. But there's a lot more going on.
The Ring brothers have a 69 Dodge Challenger. That's what they have. They have a Dodge Challenger that'll be in the BASF paint booth.
I can tell you what will be at SEMA. There are going to be some Porsches. There's going to be some donk cars. Okay, I mean raised up urban South Hall down at the down at the Dub Magazine booth.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be a bunch of raised up trucks right across from there.
All in the parking lot.
Just, I mean, all the 4x4s and the big over the top. There's going to be Jeeps, dude. You're going to see Jeeps with 36 inch monster motors
with lots of lights.
Yeah. Oh,
more
tons
of better.
Lights. The lights were when they turn them on, you can't even see what's coming.
No.
It just looks like an alien ship has landed. You're going to also see a bunch of hot rods and muscle cars.
Yeah.
You're going to see some cars you don't like that you're going to go, what the fuck were they thinking about?
You're actually going to see quite a few of those.
And you're going to see some. You're going to see some cars that you go, oh my god, anything I'd give my kid if I could own that car.
Bodie Stroud, our friend Bodie, is going to have a car out there or two. And, you know, he's been developing these chassis, like truck chassis and things like that.
For F-100s and stuff.
I believe so. And from what I understand, he will be having his first time ever. He has his booth. A BS Industries booth will be there. And he'll have some of those chassis on display. I've seen him build these things. I saw him R&D these things. And then I've seen, you know, half a dozen of these things lined up when people are buying trucks and he's building trucks for them. And they're great. They're great. And I think they're priced well. And you can get them any way you want. Like, he can put any suspension you want on it, which is nice. It's a little customizable. And if you want the, just the chassis, fine. If you want a roller and you want the big brakes and the suspension and all that stuff, good. He's good.
No,
to go.
he makes a nice piece with that stuff.
Yeah, build them in house, paint them in house, and he's got this really cool thing. He has a patent on these. These are line adjusters, so it's control arms. Imagine tubular control arms, and it attaches to the frame. You know, bolt through, and then it sort of comes around. You know, the tubes sort of come around to where you'd have a ball joint.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the middle of those tubes is a 3-piece adjuster. And it's round, and there's a special tool that attaches onto it. And they're not any – they're smooth like the tubular piece, and they're not bigger or smaller than the tube. So it's completely flush.
And this is where?
And it's on his suspension, like if you had a tubular upper control arm.
Right.
And his align adjusters are almost like bolts.
Okay.
You know, like normally you throw a wrench on and
you can
adjust them to get your, you know, to get the alignment right.
Right.
Well, these are smooth and they're flush onto the tube. And then what they just have like three little holes in them, like divots in them. And he has a special tool, almost like a coilover tool.
Yeah.
So you can turn them. And it comes with two tools. And it's so one to hold it and one
like
to back
a spanner
it off.
Wrench.
Like a spanner wrench.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Basically what it is. And but really cool. He designed them. He makes them. And you can buy those pieces and put them in any control arm,
whatever
out. You
yeah.
want. And you can get them polished or natural or whatever. And I believe all of his chassis are using that stuff. And he's got a patent on it. It's a really slick design.
Cool.
It's really cool. It looks great. I've seen him there on the chassis that are there. That's kind of cool. And he's got, you know, he's also building the Hino truck for us. I don't know if I told you about the Hino truck.
But, no, what's the Hino truck?
We talked a little bit about it on CarCast, Adam and I. But
I don't listen to that show,
Hino,
so I wouldn't know, you know.
Hino is a Japanese truck manufacturer. Very kind of industrial. Looks like U-Hauls or just panel trucks. And
are these the little square ones?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Ones.
Oh, now, and I can, H-I-N-O.
Yeah.
Yep, know
yeah,
exactly
H-I-N-O.
What you mean. Okay.
And they got like a flat front on
yes.
them, you know. And the very first Hino truck brought to the United States in the 60s went to Peter Brock.
Okay.
And Peter Brock used it as a car hauler for some of his race cars. He actually had his BRE Roadster.
They're not that big.
In the back. Yeah, this one, it fits a car.
Yeah, it's like the size of an Isuzu truck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it looks like that. Adam found one long ago, and he found the one, Peter Brock's original
one. Oh, he found the actual one.
Yeah. And we got it, and it sat for a long time. We didn't know what to do with it. And finally, we Adam's like, we need to do that car hauler. And we asked Bodie to help us out. So he went down to like Vista, California somewhere, and it was sitting in a lot, flat tires in the mud. And he just winched that thing on the back of his trailer and brought it back. He's like, no problem, I got this. And he brought it back, and he's been redoing the thing. And it's right-hand drive, right? It's the very first one. And we got pictures of Pete Brock with his race cars and the first BRE Roadster. Adam has the first BRE Roadster, so we
That's
can put
cool.
that in the truck. But now it's a cool car hauler, enclosed car hauler.
So it's just so Adam's going to have a car hauler just like Jay Leno has his Mercedes one.
Yeah, kind of like his Mercedes one. But his is a replica.
Jay's is? Yes.
Yeah, his is not a real.
But it's awesome.
Yeah, and his is really awesome. So we'll have that. But what's cool is now, like, if you want to go and show a car, like we took a car to the GT Technic Open House, or we did one at the Peterson Museum, instead of taking, like, the dually and a trailer and unloading it.
Just leave it on there.
Just leave it on there. Yeah. Or just, like, show the truck, which is kind of cool, with the car. And it makes it really nice. We're putting a sound system in it. And we have the original engine and stuff out of it. And we told...
Can you get Peter to stand next to it at all the shows?
No, he'll come out and see it, though.
No, but just hire him to stand next to
just
it.
Be, well, we got to cut out a cardboard cutout of Pete Brock. And so we told Bodie, he was like, hey, you know, just we want to use it. It's not just for a show, so we use it. So he's like, great. He did an LS swap, and I think it's got a new transmission, and he went through and fixed the brakes and everything, and it's got a great LS swap with, you know, full, like, billet front accessory drive, which you're never going to see. And he took the cab apart, and it's got it all painted up. And there's a hole from the back of the truck to the cab to the front. So you can kind of sit there. And I was like, oh, when we drive to Monterey, Adam, you can...
crawl in the back?
No, not just crawl in the back, but you can sit in your Roadster with a beer.
There you go.
And you can sit there while we drive to Monterey. And he's like, I love that idea. I'm going to sit in my Roadster with a beer in the race car in the back. And so what we might also do, which is kind of cool, is we're going to build sort of a mobile podcast studio in the truck. So we'll have like some fold-out pieces and some storage for microphones and things like that. We might even put a flat screen in there. So we can watch some stuff and
I gotta see this thing. How big is it?
It's like
all
the
of a sudden
size
it sounds like
U-Haul.
The size of a motorhome or something.
No, it's not. It would fit. This is how big it is. You've seen the Datsun 2000, the little Roadster that we have. Okay, if you put that in the back,
it fills it up.
No, it's not quite. It would fill it, and then you could put probably like two or three, just like one single row, three across, like lawn chairs. And then you just look out through the hole, through the front window of the truck.
Okay.
And then you have the two guys in the cab of the truck. So you could fit like a Roadster and like one line of chairs. Or one longer car, like the 300ZX. You know, one of those cars would fit in there.
Now, you know, so lawn chairs in the back, is that OSHA approved?
No, but you know what we might do is just like bungee cord them down.
Oh, or just get some drywall screws. Go right through the aluminum legs.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. Something like that would be fine. And
that'd work.
Yeah, we're going to put a nice sound system in it, and it's got a nice motor in it, and it'll be good, which is perfect timing because it'll be done in like a month or two. And my Mustang that I'm working on, which is natural segue, Mustang Fox Bunny, done.
There it goes.
Done.
The
F
is, word.
I can't start it, right, because it needs to be tuned and fired up for the first time. So our friend Ray at Full Throttle Customs needs to fire it up. And I was like, I'd have to get it on the trailer and take the truck and load it over there and drop it off.
So now you're thinking, yep,
just throw
it right in the Hino.
Just put it right in the Hino and drive it over there and dump it out. And there's like a lift on the back so you get the car out. And I wonder if I can just line up the lift with his
and back
dyno
straight across.
And just go, you know, that way you don't have to unload it and then push it up onto the dyno. You could just dump it right onto the dyno.
Let me make a suggestion. Those things always sound good. They don't always work so good.
Yeah.
Maybe unload it and then put it up because you're just asking for trouble, you know?
Yeah, but now I really want to try it.
You ever seen those things on YouTube where the car's sitting sideways off the side of the lift or something like
that?
No,
that's going to be us because I want to try it.
There was one just the other day I watched. It was
we might not have a lip, but maybe that's gone. Maybe there's ramps now. Now, that's how we have to do it.
There was one the other day I was watching on Facebook or something, and it was the best dyno blows. And it was like motors sitting on dynos and cars sitting on dynos. And it was just like, you know, they're sitting in there and and all of a sudden, the motor just boom scatters. And then cars.
That's why there's a dyno room.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Engines. Yeah.
Then the very last one they showed was, I think it was a WRX or something like that. And it was up on the roller dyno like Ray has.
Yeah, like a four-wheel dyno, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's up there. Wah! And all of a sudden, it blew. And the tires must have locked up when it blew or something. Because the thing skipped in the air and came down sideways off the side of the thing. And the straps broke or gave up or something, but it was
wow.
a mess. It was really a mess. And I was
built that engine.
I was thinking that could happen to Matt's Fox body.
Yeah, probably.
You'll get it all done finally. Yeah. You'll put it on the dyno to start it and get it going, and it'll be, oh wow, that strap broke and it went through the wall.
That would be me, but that's why Ray is like, just drop off the car and I'll take care of it. Because he knows what he's doing over there, and the rest of us don't.
That's my biggest... Every time I see a car on a dyno, I think, you know, if that strap gave way, or that hook, or whatever you hooked it to, the weld gives way. I mean, you know, because it happens. You know, people are like, oh, that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
just go on the internet. It happens.
It does. Know? You got to know what you're doing. It's got to be overkill. You got to know how you're strapping it down and crisscross and multiple straps and chocks in the front.
I mean,
the whole
you
thing,
see but... those cars, or even when they're just like they, you know, they're doing something and the lift gives way.
Yeah.
I've seen them where the lift actually comes unbolted from the floor and, you know, on like a two-post lift.
Yeah.
And what a mess.
Yeah, because there's not enough, the cement that it's in, the slab, like some of these.
Yeah, the slab.
Some of these things require like a 6-inch
mm-hmm.
slab.
You got to cut it.
4-inch. And the pressure, like the how dense the cement is needs to be a certain way, and it's not enough, you know, because we were over in Adam's garage. We have some lifts, but he's like, he wanted to do some storage lifts in the big room.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't really want to see the lift. And you can get a single post lift.
Like I've seen L-shaped. Those. Yeah, where it goes up like that. Yeah.
And they have certain rules. Like it needs to be this deep or whatever into the thing. And Adam's like, that's fine for me. He goes, I think we have enough. He goes, but I can just, where it mounts, he's like, I will just take a saw, a cold saw, whatever.
Yeah, saw cut it.
And cut a hole and
re-pour.
Then go deep and mount the things in there because, you know, he's got his guys. He was in construction. He
right.
could do all that kind of stuff. But
let him know what happens then is that whole pad just lifts out because it's not connected to the rest of the thing.
So
got to put a little rebar in there.
But this building has steel beams across the mm-hmm. top, you know, and I told him, it's like, you know, what you can easily do is just, why don't we just we'll add a beam that goes across and connects the steel beam. So all the beams are going one
way. Tie it into there.
Yeah. And then you have a single post going up. Well, let's just add some, you know, we'll just bolt in or weld up a piece of square tube and just have it go straight up to the ceiling and connect. Or you can connect them together, you know, like shaft mount roller rockers.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of like that, right? So you just connect them together. It's some added safety if you wanted to. And because our concern isn't...
Who cares? He doesn't have good stuff, so why even worry about it?
Well, that's what I was telling him.
Yeah. It's,
you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, let's put the race cars on the bottom. They got two-frame chassis. Worst case scenario is we flatten some tires and dent the roof. They're like, they're not going to bend the chassis. I was like, I don't agree.
Yeah.
Let's crush $1 million race car.
Yeah, it's not, you know, hey, if that falls over.
Yeah.
And, you know, remind him. We have earthquakes.
That's the thing. So that was my point was, he's like, well, if the rating is like, if you put it in the 6-inch slab and it's rated for 7,000 pounds, our cars weigh 2,900, we're fine. I said, yeah, that's the rating when the earth isn't shaking.
Exactly. When the earth's not moving.
When the earth starts shaking, what's the rating then? Let's see what happens then. He's like, all right, maybe we tie it to the ceiling. I was like, yeah, maybe we do.
Because the other thing is like, you know, when the earth moves, stuff cracks,
yeah,
and your cement cracks, and then it's not as strong as it was, and you know that could be a problematic. That could be problematic.
Yeah. What are you building?
I'm not building anything.
All right, I'm building.
I'm building empires.
You're building.
Building empires.
Yeah. You see, I posted. I finished up the fuel lines on my car. I got
the
fuel tank in, and the exhaust is all tucked up, and I can't wait to get it on the ground. We got Bond Speed wheels on that thing. I don't
know if you've been building that thing for a year.
I know it's and slow because on the actually I brought it home from SEMA last year and took it all apart.
Yeah.
And started going through it. So
coming Fox up bodies on a year, must take a long
coming
time
up on
go.
A year. And then Adam jokes on the show all the time. He's like, "Am I going to get my lift back?" And then I was standing next to him the other day, and he's like, "Really though?" It's like, "When do you think you're going to be done with that car?"
It's been in my shop long
enough. And my answer was, "Do you want me to get you another lift?"
Well, the thing is that Matt's sitting here going, "Yeah, as soon as I get it done, then he's going to be like, okay, so you're going to get rid of it, and then you're going to lose your storage."
Oh, no. As soon as I'm done with that car, I'm going to put my Alfa Romeo up on that lift. I'm like, I'm just going to fix a thing real quick. He's like, "Really?" Yeah. So, by the way,
you'll come in someday and he'll go, "Hey, I got another lift. It's outside out there. That's yours."
Yeah. So we've got the fuel lines are done. The fuel tank is in. We got a all new fuel system from Aeromotive. I went with their tank, which is sumped, and it's got the built-in pump. So mm-hmm. It's quieter when it's in the tank. And it's got the filter built in. And then I have another filter, like post-pump filter, all braided lines going up to the fuel rails. That's all buttoned up, and that's good. And the exhaust is back in it. And now I'm working on the suspension, which was mostly done. But I had Maximum Motorsports do the suspension for me, and I swapped out the front K-member. It's a lighter weight, tubular K-member, stronger, better geometry. And then at some point in the process, when I just about got their K-member in, I was like, "Oh, man, I'm using a new Flaming River power steering rack. It's not a rebuilt rack. They build it from scratch. It's all new components. It's quick ratio and it's good. And it's designed for the Fox Body Mustang." But it's a weird thing how their power steering rack will bolt into a stock Mustang.
Okay.
And a stock steering rack will bolt into the Maximum Motorsports K member.
But not the other way around.
But the Flaming River one won't bolt into.
What's different about it?
There's a little bit of
the bracketry or something?
Now it's just a little bit of like clearance issues with the housing of the new rack. And Flaming River rack used to be
bigger.
So
you've added a bigger rack.
And yeah.
Well, much larger.
Of course. I mean, you never go
Southern
down.
California yeah. guy goes with yeah. a bigger rack.
And years ago, Flaming River had a rack that wasn't very popular because it had like a big billet thing around it, and it had clearance issues. They've redesigned it like a year or two ago, and I was like, "That's great." And for the other Mustang that I had when we debuted it at SEMA, it was in the Takiko Shocks booth. It was just the body with the suspension and the Coyote engine in it. Flaming River and Maximum Motorsports got together and they made a rack that fit, but and a K member that fit.
Okay,
so they have a version of the K member for the Flaming River rack, but that was their Coyote swap.
So you don't have that one.
Right, and I'm not using the Coyote in this car, right? So I went back to them, and I basically took the other K-member out.
Sold it on eBay.
They have all the specs, so they made the modifications, repowder-coated it, sent it back to me, and I got it up there. I got it installed. I've got it all lined, and was hanging my plumb bobs and doing the whole thing, and got it all lined up. So I got to go in this weekend, put the control arms on, and then I can put it back down on the ground. And so I posted photos.
So you got to bolt it in, bolt it out, bolt it in, bolt it out.
Yeah. So yeah. It's done. So it's the K member itself is in and it's lined up and it's where it needs to be. And the motor's in, the motor mounts are in, all that stuff is in. I got to put the control arms on the front, lower control arms, and the steering rack. And hopefully this coming weekend I'll do it. Or as you're listening to this, it would have been done already.
So it's actually done.
Let's just go ahead and say it's done.
It's all done.
It's definitely done.
So
do that. Get it back on the ground.
So this car is actually going to be done at some point.
It's going to be done at some point, and I can't wait to drive it.
You're going to be driving it by Christmas, yeah. You think?
I mean, the plan is to at least try to get it wrapped up during the Christmas break because I got a little bit more time and then get it over to Ray's shop.
So it's going
to
be 2018, folks.
You know, so my plan actually was have it done before Barrett Jackson Scottsdale, although I'm not bringing it to Barrett Jackson Scottsdale.
You're going to run it across and sell it, right?
It is just have it done like.
So you can lean against it out at the entrance and go, "Hey, moderator here with my Fox body.
I mean, I guess I could bring it out.
But that would mean you had to drive it to Arizona.
Or tow it.
Oh, wait, or put it in the Hino.
And then drive it there. It's getting done. It's going to be cool. And I was looking at it. I was like, I want to get it back on the ground and get the stance right and put the wheels back on it. And I was thinking, you know what? I like these wheels, and people should call and order.
They should order them.
They should order them. Ask for the Motorator Special.
The Motorator Special. There you go. I agree with that. Bond Speed Wheels at bondspeedwheels.com.
Are you guys running a special right now? I thought I saw it on Instagram.
Yes, we are. But by the time the show's, it'll probably the SEMA, pre-SEMA special. Probably, but give me a call. Give me a call, and I'll probably take care of it.
Tell me you listen to the show, and you want the Motorator Special.
There you go.
What's the deal?
It's going to be a Motorator Special. It's going to be a same price that a dealer would pay. So it's a really smoking deal.
Okay. There you go.
So that's right. No, I'll do it. I'll give them a special, man. If they call in, ask for that Motorator Special, we will give them a smoking deal.
See the way I put you on the spot like that?
You do, but that's all right. I'm always up for selling Bond Speed Wheels. And, you know, we quit doing the SEMA show as a booth a number of years back. And just because for our business, SEMA's fantastic. It's a great place. But because we make every single set of wheels is built to order, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, we don't sell to big tire store chains and things like that. So it doesn't really work. I mean, you know, because everyone is custom built to order. So
right. Like SEMA's still, it's a trade show. The idea is for manufacturers to get their buyers to come over and go, here's our new stuff for the year.
It's not just a big car show.
Yeah, here's our new stuff for the year. Go ahead and make your orders and we'll get you some of these things so you can sell for the year. But since you guys sell directly to the consumer...
Yeah, they're all built to order.
There's no trade show stuff, so
it
makes more sense for you guys to get sets of Bond Speed wheels on a bunch of cool builds and to take it from there.
Right, and we've done parties there before for our dealers and, you know, the few dealers that we have and stuff. But, hey, you know, one of the things I've been going, when was the first SEMA you ever went to, man?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, 8 years ago. I haven't been going for 20 years like some of these guys
have.
I think the very first
SEMA I ever went to was 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year's first one. I think the first one I ever went to was 1984.
Wow.
I jumped in my car. I was living in Arizona, and I drove up there, and it was a totally different scene. I mean, trust me, it was totally different. But it was so cool, and... So I've seen it change and grow over the years, but I almost take it for granted because it's been going. And I thought maybe we could give some of our experience, Matt.
So what, like people, some advice?
Some advice if you've never been before. If you've never been and you're coming out, make sure you get your credentials before you get there because otherwise you might be disappointed and not get in. Secondly, make sure you got comfortable shoes on because it is the second largest trade show in the world behind CES. So it is miles.
I think it's bigger than CES now.
Is it now?
Yeah, because it's in the parking lots and it grew into the LVH hotel.
There's
a million square feet under a roof.
And there's some kind of figure where if you walked up and down every row, it's 22 miles or something like that.
So I used my app, like my whatever health app on my phone, and I was walking an average of 7 to 11 miles per day.
Oh, easy. Yeah, one day I walked 15 miles. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
But you were drunk and lost, so that's
we're not supposed to bring that up. Come on. Well, it's because I was stumbling, so each step is like 3.
Okay, here's another tip for you. This is fairly new, okay? I'm assuming they're doing this the same this year as they did last year, but Uber, Lyft... Those guys, there's the front of the convention center, okay, where the Ford drifting is and it's on the main road. Well, the back of the convention center. So you got to leave the convention center, okay, go towards South Hall where is it the Renaissance Hotel? What's the one that's in the parking lot?
That's the Renaissance.
The Renaissance.
Yeah.
Okay. Between South Hall and the Renaissance, there's a gap. And go toward the back of, go there. Go to the back side of the convention center, and there's like a giant line, you know, kind of, you know, goes in and out like, you know, like at a bank, and all the Uber guys drop off and pick up will be there. You can order your own Uber, but that's where they'll all come in. So just go out there and you'll stand in the line, and there's some attendants that'll be like, you know, as the cars are rolling in, they'll be like, Uber for Brad. Who ordered? Who's Brad? And you just jump out of the line. And you
well,
go
like
in.
They wouldn't yeah. know. Come on, yeah. It'd be like, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because you only luxury black car Uber anyway.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's, you don't, you know. Uber pool. Uber for Brad and Matt and Aaron. your Miata's here. Everybody get in. And Uber's way more expensive in Vegas.
Oh yes,
because
it is. Way more expensive.
Yeah, every Uber driver is there. So at the when you leave the show, what you think was $11 to get
everything's on the elevated rate.
That's right. Like in the morning, and you're like, oh, it costs $11 to get from the Strip to the show. It could be $60 getting back to your hotel. So just keep that in mind.
Uber experience. St. Louis, I was there for Man Seeks Adventure with Dave Merrick.
Yeah.
And Dave goes, orders up a black car from the hotel yeah. to the drag strip. We were going over to the drag strip for the Midwest Nationals. And we're like, you know, come on, St. Louis, how much could it cost, right? We get over there, and it was $99. And all we did was drive on, you know, like across the freeway to the other side to Illinois. And... but there's some kind of weird surcharge because we had to cross the river to Illinois. And Dave goes, wow, we went like, what, 3 miles? And it was $100.
$100.
And it
wow.
was like, and now we're stuck. We got to Uber back. So it was like $200 to go to the drag strip yeah. and back.
So on the way back, you were like, hey, Dave, why don't you order up another Uber? Yeah, make him pay for it.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's the Uber advice.
The other thing is that if you've never been and you're a SEMA member, make sure that you go to the SEMA member booth and get your little tag, because they have a SEMA member lounge, which has a place to relax, kick back. You don't have to stand in the huge lunch lines. You have to pay for your lunch up there, but it's not as big a line, and you can go up and get like free water and coffee and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if you got to meet with somebody, you can also meet there. Plus, there's some other benefits. I heard talk about a VIP cab line if you're a SEMA member. So that might be something to look into as well.
Isn't technically everybody who's going there a SEMA member?
No, you don't have to be a SEMA member to attend the show. There's, I would, only about, I bet you less than 50% of the people there are SEMA members. Are you a SEMA member?
Yes.
You are? Yes. You personally are a SEMA member?
I am.
Wow, look
Motorator
at you,
is
Motorator.
A SEMA member.
But a lot of guys aren't. A lot, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Bonneville and Bonspeed are, but, you know, we're supporting, man.
Here's another one of my tips is I carry around just in my pocket a small little plastic pill box, and I keep about a dozen Advil in it. And, you know, the end of day one, midday day two, you're like, my feet hurt. I have a headache. It's loud. People have been yelling at me all day.
I don't yell
I bring
at you
a
that
couple,
much. Come on.
Bring a couple Advil.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Throw some breath mints in there, too, okay?
Yeah, I do have those in there, too. Yeah. I have those in there as well. I have mints. I'm like a teeth super freak, though. So, like, I got to brush my teeth 2-3 times a day. And especially if I'm in meetings and I'm talking to people.
There's nothing worse than you walk up to somebody and they say hi to you, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. And, oh. Another
then you say,
tip.
Hey, would you like a breath mint? I'm having one. And they're like, nah, I'm good. And you're like, no, you're
look,
not.
A lot of people that are working SEMA, I get it. You're there. You're busy. And it's oftentimes pretty miserable for you to be in your booth all day. And you're there and you got your nice little branded shirt on with your logo on it. Bring a few of those because by Thursday, you all smell.
Yeah. but those are some of the tips. But the other thing is, okay, now – what do you want to see? The first thing is you want to get that map and you want to check out. Kind of, you got to be strategic because trust me, you're never going to see everything. So if you want to make sure you see all the major car displays, go see them, check them out. But just remember that Chevrolet every day is going to change. So they change out their cars every day. So if somebody tells you about a car that you just got to see at Chevrolet and you're like, oh man, I'll go tomorrow. No, I've made that mistake.
It might still be there, but reconfigured.
Right.
So get the SEMA app or get the map And definitely plan your meetings and stuff ahead of time. And the halls are jam-packed. So if you say, hey, I got to meet somebody from, you know, at 11:30, and then I got to meet somebody else at 12, and you realize you're in Central Hall and you got to go to South Hall, you know, that's a 10-minute walk, 12, 15-minute walk.
Yeah.
So plan that ahead of time. So what I've been doing, like, when we do interviews, like booth-to-booth interviews, I know the interview is going to be 10 to 15 minutes, and I plan like 35 minutes of time. So there's travel time, you know, and then, and if you're going to, if you are going to see specific things, or you want to, you know, you're planning a car or you're doing whatever, and you're like, I got to go to MSD and I got to go to Aeromoto Fuel Systems. I got to go, you know, figure out where your meetings are going to be and try to plan them per hall. You know, like, you don't want to go South Hall, Central Hall, North Hall,
no
South
kidding.
Hall. You know, that's, I mean, the
you may not make your meetings, let alone you're going to be wore
Believe
out.
Believe me, the trek from South Hall to North Hall with the amount of people and all the cars, and also you're going to be stopping and looking at stuff because it's
maybe
shiny.
Maybe seeing people you know and stopping and talking.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And plus, things are shiny, and you're like a fish looking at everything, right?
Exactly.
It's 20 minutes from South Hall to North Hall.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's even if you go outside and cut through all the cars that are outside and the monster trucks and the Jeeps and all the lights.
And if you're working a booth, because a lot of our listeners might be going there to work in a booth for the company they're working for or something. If you're going, you know, to the booth or coming from the booth because you're stuck there kind of all day, just walk a different aisle every time you go to the restroom.
That's
or
it.
Every time you come in the morning, and you'll get to see some of the show. Now, for our first timers, outside is a giant, ginormous car show.
Yeah.
With drifters and 4x4s and all the displays and all the cars. And that goes right up to the front doors. Then inside in that main grand hall and all the way down, there's more cars. So just get that covered, get it out of the way. And if you want to take photos, get there super early.
Outside in Central Hall are usually the most popular, and a lot of the big debuts. And like Tuesday, Wednesday, SEMA has scheduled press events.
Yes.
Okay, so if you want to see, like we talked about, a Ring Brothers car, if you want to see that car, fine. Go at the end of the day, Wednesday or Thursday, to see that car. But if you want to hear about it and you want to see the press event, schedule your press events. Go to the SEMA show website or SEMA's website.
And find out when the unveiling
is. Find out what it is. And again, if you have a 3:30 press conference and then you have a 4 press conference, if they're not near each other, you're going to have to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, but that's and speaking of press conferences, Adam Carolla and I will be doing a live CarCast show / press conference Tuesday, the first day of SEMA, at 3:30 Central Hall in the Optima Batteries booth. So you get a little taste of what's going on there. And then we'll hang around for a little bit, do some autographs, and Adam's got to catch a flight home.
Yeah, he's going to go. He's going to split.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to do it, but looking at his flight times, but.
Well, I'm already looking at my days because
I have to airlift him out of there because there's no way he's going to get out of there in time.
I mean, Thursday's going to be nuts for me because we've got a bunch of stuff leading up to the show that night with the guys. And I mean, there's like interviews, and I've got to wrangle those cats. I got to make sure that they are all where they got to be. And so I'm already stressing about that. So we will we'll make it happen. But I'll walk a different aisle every time I go, you know, just to see some of the show. Now, what else? Any hot tips on things that you like to always see when you're there?
Well, like I said, I like to do Central Hall and get that out, or at least start hearing about where to go. That's a lot of things. The other thing is, there'll be a lot of word of mouth. Did you see this car there? Did you see this cool product there? And then I'm going to swing by North Hall and check out what's new there.
Electronics and...
Yeah, but also like paint booths and ladders and tools. And I didn't get much time in there last year. And even though we're there all week, it's still very difficult to do all of it.
It is.
Like, you can't really do all of it. You can run through, but if you have a couple meetings and you want to look at some cool products, there's so I didn't get much of North Hall. So this year I'm going to do North Hall. And I'll tell you this is if you're going for products, like if you want to go to see the coolest new shit, like new EFIs and handheld programmers and suspension pieces or whatever, I actually really love the SEMA new product showcase. And it's just halls and halls.
It's row after row of new products.
Of new products. And everything there is just, there's no booths. It's just, shelves.
It's like glass showcases.
Yeah. It's like trophy cases.
Right.
Right. But it's just aisles and aisles of trophy cases. And you can spend a couple hours and you can run up and down those things and keep looking back and forth.
No, you're not supposed to run.
And
no running in the aisles.
And stuff that you think is cool, I think you can like write down a number or a booth number or scan it with your SEMA app and you get more info.
And then go to their booth,
Or like I'll just run through and snap photos of stuff and then go back later and then be able to look up the company and the name of the product or the booth or whatever. And but SEMA new product showcase, I like to do a lap through there every year. I like to run through there. And it's grown, and they've moved it from upstairs and downstairs and South Hall and whatever. And then it was like in the middle between South
they
and North
Hall. They keep trying new areas. I think
so find out where it is.
I think sometimes what SEMA does is they have something they want to draw people to, so they put it there because they know people will go find it.
But I like it. I like that section. It's a great way because I'm a parts geek, you know, and I love that aspect of it. And I know the whole show and everything of SEMA is great, but and that new parts showcase is there the whole time. So I kind of like doing like a Friday thing. Like the end of the day, my meetings are done and I'm like all my important shit's out of the way. Then I'll go down there on a Friday and spend 2 hours and going up and down those things. I'm like, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. And if I find three or four products that I absolutely have to see, then I'll go find that booth, you know, and maybe talk to some guys. But I'll just go through and I'll snap a bunch of photos on my phone so I can look those things up later.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll post photo galleries and stuff. You're going to see all the cool cars and the booths, but in the past I've done like a SEMA new parts showcase, mm-hmm. like a photo gallery of that stuff. Cause there's cool stuff in there.
All right, now let's talk about the real thing. What everybody's really looking for when they go to SEMA.
Yeah.
Swag. So the first thing you got to do is find out who's giving out the best bag.
Yeah.
The one that's the right size, that it's strong enough, and you can throw catalogs, stickers, pens, T-shirts, whatever they're handing out. And if you're a first-timer, make sure you get that stuff early because it goes fast.
It does. And also, so for me, I stop grabbing all the catalogs in the books because it's so heavy.
Okay. You just get so weighted
heavy,
down.
Right?
Yeah.
Get the bag if you want, but if you're going to go out there and you're on a mission to get catalogs, bring a backpack.
Oh, yeah.
It's way easier to carry everything on your back than it is. And if you're
bring
trying
a
to
pack
photos,
mule.
Yeah. Or a friend. Bring a friend with a backpack, and then they can carry it.
I'll get you a badge, but you got to carry the backpack.
I'm telling you, I don't know how Chris does it, producer Chris. When we run around and we do booth-to-booth interviews, there's like 1 or 2 days, usually 2 days, where he has to bring the big pack with microphones, wired mics, the recorder, and he has to carry that thing. He never bitches about it. The only thing he does is be like, he would say, oh, on Thursday we're doing an interview. And then I'd be like, we're just doing one at 11. He's like, oh, I'm going to bring the bag. He's like, I'm just kidding. We're not doing one at 11. I try to get them all done in like a day or two and then get rid of the bag, you know, because.
So you leave it back in the room or in the car.
Yeah. So I try to, you know, get a half a dozen or so interviews because just, I mean, you're walking 10 miles a day and imagine walking 10 miles a day with 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds strapped to you.
Years ago, B&M used to have these cardboard boxes that were shaped like a briefcase, had a little spring-loaded flap, and you could just slide them in. And when it got full, you'd go get another one. And I can remember, like in the 80s and the 90s, getting those boxes, and then they had a UPS shipping thing right there, and guys would be standing there just like me. You'd have four or five of them, and you'd put strapping tape around them, and you'd tape them all together. slap a label on them, and then
and
they
just ship them out.
Ship them
That's
back
a great
to
idea,
you. It was awesome.
It's just like you just go in and you grab a USB drive.
Yeah. Oh, the US. Well, that's for us press guys, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're just Joe Blow, you can't go get the. Yeah, I grab all the USB drives because they're awesome.
That's it. I'm telling you, if you're going to go around and you're looking at parts and you like certain parts, grab your phone, snap photos of the part and the part number, and then grab a business card.
Yeah,
and
then you can ask for
it. That's it. And you go home with 100 photos on your phone and a stack of 50 business cards. Then you can follow up with some people or start Googling it or go to their website. But carrying that shit around is nuts.
Well, we got to wrap this episode up. I got one last bit of advice that we didn't bring up when we were talking Ubers and tax cabs is the Las Vegas monorail. That monorail, if you're at a hotel where you can easily access that, that is by far the best, fastest way to go in and out of the convention center and even use it at night because it's cheap. You buy a 3-day pass, you're dialed in, and I use that a lot.
You're right. That is a good way to do it. Now, leaving SEMA, there's a line for everything. So
and there's no parking, folks. I mean, there's parking lots around there, but they fill up quick.
And some of the free parking around there is not free during SEMA.
Right, you know, right.
I used to park at one of the smaller hotels, not a casino, and it used to be cheap. Now it's like 40 or 50 bucks.
Oh, yeah. No, it's expensive. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Good. But anyways, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. Matt, where can they find us online?
Yeah, check us out at Shift Steer Media. We're on all of our social medias at Shift Steer Media, as you guys know, and shiftandsteer.com. And, you know, we appreciate the good feedback. We appreciate you guys listening. So keep it going. Tell a friend. Let's keep growing the show.
Hey, I'm Brad Fanshaw. And
Matt DeAndrea.
And Aaron is not here. No. So, you know, we'll catch up with him next week. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. See you at SEMA.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.